we present John le Carré's A Murder of Quality, adapted for radio in five parts by René Basilico, starring George Cole as Smiley, with Norman Bowler as Inspector Rigby. A Murder of Quality, Episode 5.
As a general rule, Inspector, if a suspect disappears, as Rhode has done, would you regard that as a confirmation of guilt?
When he's top of the list, I might.
I see.
You know, Mr. Smiley, there's one thing puzzles me about this business.
Yes?
I can see why Rhode would kill Perkins. I mean, he thought the lad was a threat.
Mistakenly.
Yes, but what earthly reason could he have for battering his own wife to death? What's his motive?
Khan is heady wine, Inspector. Especially to an ex-grammar school boy. And Rhode's the first they'll ever taken on the staff.
Sort of guinea pig, you mean?
If you like. But, more important, he was a convert to the Khan tradition, to Khan standards. Stella Rhode wasn't. She had her own traditions, her own standards, and she saw no reason to deviate from them just because Khan decreed it.
I can see how that might upset him, but murder?
Well, according to Fielding, he hated her for it.
I see. I think I'd better get a written statement from Fielding. I'll send someone round. Or maybe I'll go myself.
What about Rhode? You'll be circulating his description, presumably.
Let's get the warrant first.
Oh, yes, of course.
You see, I can't just go around and arrest a member of the staff of Khan's school without getting the chief constable's say-so.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten Brigadier Havelock was an old Khanian.
You wouldn't like to tell him what you've just told me, would you?
Well, if you think it would help.
I think it would.
Very well, then.
That's very decent of you. Well, come on, let's get it over with.
What, now?
Yes, he's expecting us at 5:30. Here we are.
Come in. Ah, Rigby. Come on in.
Thank you, sir. May I introduce Mr. George Smiley, sir, from London.
From London, eh? How do you do, sir?
Brigadier.
Mr. Smiley's an acquaintance of Mr. Terence Fielding up at the school, sir.
Fielding, eh? Quite a card, that man. Quite a card. Well, sit down, better not.
No, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Seems that this same Mr. Fielding has made a statement, a sort of statement to Mr. Smiley here, concerning the murder of Mrs. Rhode.
Has he now?
Yes. You remember that the husband, Stanley Rhode, was acting as invigilator that afternoon.
Go on.
Well, he also had to do chapel duty before going on to dinner at Fielding's house. As an expediency, he gave his briefcase...
Containing the exam papers, sir. The exam he'd just been invigilating.
Yes, I understand.
He gave the briefcase to Perkins to take on.
Perkins, you say?
Yes.
The boy who was killed on Longmead Hill.
That's right, sir.
How do you come to know so much about it, Smiley?
Well, Perkins was head boy in Fielding's house. I was introduced to him the other evening.
Ah.
Well, Fielding wanted to see how Perkins had done in the examination. It was apparently vital to the boy's future that he should get his remove.
Yes, it would be.
Anyway, Fielding opened the case and found that it contained not only the exam papers, but a plastic cape and trousers, some cut-down Wellington.
What? Did you hear that, Rigby?
Yes, sir.
But that's what they found in that damn parcel in London, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Mr. Fielding also saw a length of copper cable in the case.
The murder weapon?
Yes.
Ah. You better bring this Rhode fellow in for questioning, I suppose. Discreetly now, Rigby. Discretion's the better part of publicity. What, Smiley?
Indeed, Brigadier.
Man like that. Shush. These experiments never work.
Begging your pardon, sir, but I've already tried to bring the Rhode in. But he's gone.
Gone? What do you mean, gone?
He's disappeared, sir. Run for it, I shouldn't wonder.
Very well. You better get a warrant. From Mr. Borrow, if you can. If not, let me know, and I'll phone Lord Sawley.
Thank you, sir. I'll get on with that right away, shall I?
May I help you, sir?
Room 213, please.
213. Oh, there's a message for you, sir. Mr. Smiley, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Miss Brimley phoned you, sir. Wants you to call her back on this number.
Oh, thank you. Where is the nearest telephone?
In the alcove, on the right there.
Oh, splendid, thank you.
Elsa Brimley?
It's George Brim. I'm returning your call.
George? Have you any idea when you'll be coming back to town?
Why, Brim? What's the matter?
Well, nothing really. It's just that I've had a phone call from someone who seems very anxious to meet you.
Well, who's that?
Stanley Rhode.
Eh? Did he suggest the time?
Not really. He said any time today.
So he's in London, is he?
I don't know. Well, I suppose he must be. He said he'd ring me back.
Right, Brim. When he does, arrange a meeting with him at your office tonight, after hours.
6 o'clock, do?
Fine.
All right, George. I'll see if I can fix that.
Well, until tonight, then. Oh, and, Brim?
Yes?
There's a warrant out for Rhode.
What?
I thought you should know, but don't say anything to Rhode, will you?
Well, doesn't he know?
No, and I don't want to frighten him off.
No, of course not. I'll see you later, then.
6 o'clock tonight.
Goodbye, George.
I say, Smiley.
Fielding.
What are you doing here?
I was on my way to see you, actually.
Oh, why?
Oh, just say goodbye, Fielding. I'm going back to London.
Today?
Yes, in a couple of hours.
Oh. But come on to my study. I'm free until lunch.
Oh, fine.
I had the police round this morning to take a statement. You didn't waste much time, did you?
What did you expect? You virtually sealed the case against Stanley Rhode.
I suppose so. Come in, Smiley.
Thank you.
What will they do to him?
Charge him when they catch him.
What do you mean?
Oh, apparently Rhode has disappeared.
Oh, God. Well, that more or less clinches it, doesn't it? I mean, it has to be him now.
You must have realized the significance of all those things in Rhode's briefcase.
I do now, yes. I suppose there's no possible way one can prevent all this coming out.
What about Rhode?
No, the business with Perkins, the exam paper, my part in it.
I don't see how, in all honesty. Mm. You've given the police a statement, you said.
Yes, I told them what I told you. They'll have to use it, I suppose.
Part of their case against Rhode. Vital part, I should imagine.
Yes, of course. Well, it's the end for me, you know. It'll ruin me. I'm finished.
Well, I don't see why. Oh, you're retiring anyway, aren't you?
Yes, but I've no money. None at all.
Well, your pension, surely. I mean, after 15 years.
They're throwing me out. Throwing me onto the scrap heap like an old boot.
You can't be serious.
You see, I'm beyond the pale, Smiley. Beyond the Carn pale, anyway.
I find that hard to believe.
But it's true. I'm very different from my brother, you know. I lack his control, is that the word?
We're all of us vulnerable, Fielding.
Yes. One puts up a front, but... it was a very minor indiscretion, Smiley. A peccadillo, really, but hardly cause a ripple in the outside world. But in a community like Carn, it's unforgivable.
I can imagine.
Yes, I thought you might have guessed.
Well, yes, I think I did. But really, it isn't my business. Unless you want to...
Yes. It was 10 years ago. I was lecturing at this RAF education course during the summer vacation. Near Derby, it was. And he was a very young airman, you see. A minor, legally.
I see.
It was hushed up, of course, for the good of the school. But my appointment was revoked. I've been on an annual contract ever since, a temporary. So, when I retire, there's no pension.
But they let you keep the house?
Yes, surprising, isn't it? I'll never understand that.
What will you do?
Oh, well, there's a place in Yorkshire that might take me on, a crammer. It's a sort of breaker's yard for old dons.
Do they know? At Carn, I mean.
The High Master knows. He had to give me a reference.
I see.
I'm having an interview on Thursday in London, one of those dreadful clubs in Pall Mall. Not much point now.
Look, if you're going to be in London, why not have dinner with me?
Oh.
We can talk things over. You never know. We might be able to work something out.
Yes, I should like that. What time?
Well, how about 8 o'clock?
That might suit very well.
Well, 8 then. Number 39A, Bywater Street. That's in Chelsea.
There you are, then, sir. I reckon we timed that nicely.
I think we cut it rather fine, if you must know. Oh, you really needn't have bothered, Inspector.
Well, there was what you might call an ulterior motive, sir.
Ah.
I wonder if you might drop this envelope in at Scotland Yard for me. They're expecting it.
Perkins' examination paper?
Yes, I want the handwriting analysed.
Yes, of course.
I like my cases to be completely watertight, sir.
You don't miss much, do you?
No, it's a habit I try and cultivate, sir. Well, that's it, then. Safe journey, and thanks again. It's been damn nigh impossible without you.
I've enjoyed the experience, Inspector. And the company.
Bye, Mr. Smiley.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Anyone at home?
George, come on in.
Hope I haven't kept you waiting.
Oh, not at all. Mr. Rhodes only just arrived.
Ah, Rhodes.
I'm afraid I got engrossed in the wonders of the Science Museum, and I've forgotten all about the rush hour. We don't have such things at Khan.
Let me take your coat, too.
Oh, thanks, Brim.
Oh, sit down.
Ah, that's better. Well, Rhode, you left Khan rather suddenly, didn't you?
I had to.
Oh?
Yes, it was impossible loafing around that house all day with nothing to do.
You just wanted to get away from it all?
Yes.
What made you come here, to us?
Mr. Rhode was worried about that article you were doing for me, George. His wife's obituary.
I'd rather you didn't write it, Smiley.
Why not?
I know you mean well, but it wouldn't be right. I spoke to Stella's father about it, and he agreed. It just wouldn't be right. Too many people know.
Know what?
The truth about Stella. All those people knowing what she'd done, and then reading a glowing obituary in The Voice.
I'm sorry, Rhoda. I don't understand.
No, you wouldn't. You see, Stella was evil.
Mr. Rhode, you can't mean that.
Oh, but I do. There's no other word for it. It's a word her own father used when I asked his permission to marry her. Evil, that's what he said. Her own father.
And you didn't believe him?
No, of course not. I thought he was just a selfish old man who wanted his daughter to look after him for the rest of his life.
Mm.
And when did you realize he wasn't a selfish old man?
Oh, quite early on, if I'm honest. I suppose I didn't want to believe it at first, or perhaps she disguised it better. That was before we came to Khan, of course.
And then she changed?
Yes. Khan changed her. Seemed to bring the dark side to the surface somehow. It was a great opportunity for me, Smiley. It's a marvelous opportunity. I was so anxious, so determined to make a success of it. And she seemed just as determined that I shouldn't.
You felt your wife somehow threatened your career, your whole future at the school?
Well, yes. I suppose I did feel that. It'd be foolish to deny it.
Perhaps it was just a feeling, nothing more.
No, Smiley, she made it very clear in 100 ways, niggling, spiteful ways. I mean, her quite deliberate insistence on worshipping at that pokey little tabernacle in the town.
Mr. Rhode.
I mean, she knew we were both expected to attend the school services, but she went to that tabernacle just to be perverse, quite deliberately, literally out of spite.
Well, what about her refugee work?
Yes. Oh, where's the spite in that?
Yes, I wondered about that too. At first, she was just trying to collect more from the town than Miss Darcy could from the school. Then I realized what she was up to.
And what was that?
Gossip, Miss Brimley. Dirt. Little unpleasantnesses best left forgotten. She dug them up, hoarded them like a squirrel hoards nuts. Refugee collection was a little gold mine of information for her. She used to come home sometimes and literally hug herself with pleasure. I've got them, she'd say. I know all their dirty little secrets. I've got them in the palm of my hand. And then she'd hold out a hand and clench it slowly as though she were squeezing the life out of something.
She was a blackmailer.
Hmm? Yes, yeah. But not in the way you mean. She was more like someone who wrote poison pen letters, only she didn't write anything. She just let people know she knew.
And then?
Nothing.
That was all?
It was enough for Stella. Just to have people, I don't know, in her power, to have some hold, some sort of hold over them.
Hmm.
And if there was nothing to know about a person, she simply concocted something, made it up.
She fabricated gossip.
Oh, yes. Whole tissues of lies, complete fantasies.
Are you saying your wife was mad?
Perhaps. I think so, yes. I mean, she'd have to be mad, wouldn't she, to tell the minister I was trying to kill her?
Who told you that?
Old Cardew himself, the minister. He thought perhaps she needed a holiday. If only it had been as simple as that. You know, she deserved to die, Smiley. No one deserved it more.
Working late in here, are we?
Yes. At least I think so, George.
No, I think we've finished, more or less.
Only we'll be locking the front doors in 5 minutes.
Well, that should give us just enough time to transfer to somewhere more convivial. What do you say, Brim?
Fine, George. Mr. Rhode?
By all means.
5 minutes, then.
Thank you. Will you be in town for a few days, Rhode?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, to tell the truth.
I'm giving a small dinner party on Thursday, if you could make it. Come as you are, it'll be quite informal.
Yes, I'd like to come, very much, in fact.
Would 8 o'clock suit you?
Very well, thank you.
Brim?
I'd love to, George, at 8.
Well, if you could come a little earlier, 7:30, perhaps? Make sure I get the place settings right.
Of course.
All right, shall we move on, then?
You first. I have to lock the door.
Of course.
You know, Rhode, I met your wife's father at the funeral.
Yes, he came up from Branksome for the day. Doesn't get about very much these days, you know.
A fine old boy, all the same.
Oh, yes.
Did you know the family before they went to live in Branksome?
No, no, Stella and I met there about a year after they came, actually.
When was that?
9, 10 years ago.
Well, that's it. Shall we adjourn?
By all means, Brim. I believe they came from the Midlands originally, didn't they?
Derby.
Sorry, Brim?
They lived in Derby.
Of course, you did tell me. Samuel Glaston was a magistrate there.
Yes, he was on the bench for 4 or 5 years. He only came south when his health began to fail.
Good evening. May I speak to Inspector Rigby?
Who shall I say, sir?
Smiley. George Smiley.
Oh, yes. Just one moment. Hello, Mr. Smiley. Got back all right, then?
Yes, thank you, Inspector.
Well, what can I do for you?
I thought you should know. I've seen Stanley Road.
Where?
He's in London. In fact, I spoke with him briefly.
He's not with you now, then?
No.
Pity. You should have hung on to him.
Well, don't worry, Inspector. I've done the next best thing.
What's that?
I've invited him to dinner tomorrow.
Never turn up, not now.
Well, I don't see why not. He knows nothing about the warrant, Inspector, and I saw no reason to enlighten him.
Then we might be lucky. Tomorrow, you said?
Yes.
And I'll have the confirmation of the handwriting by then.
Ah, yes, your watertight case.
Yes. You know, I wouldn't mind netting this one myself. What time did you say?
I didn't, but he's due with me at 8 o'clock.
Right. Now, if you just give me your address, Mr. Smiley.
More sherry, Brim?
No, thank you, George.
You don't mind if I do, do you?
Well, of course not.
Only I feel a certain chill foreboding.
So I was invited early to hold your hand.
Well?
Quite like the old days.
The same old Brim.
I was supposed to be supervising the place settings, I seem to remember. How many people did you invite?
3, other than yourself, if they all come.
Well, then.
They won't all be staying to dinner.
Oh. Shall I get it, George?
If you would, please, Brim.
Oh, I must do something to earn my dinner. Oh, Mr. Rowe, do come in.
Thank you.
Here, let me help you.
Yep.
Mr. Smiley's through there, the room on the right.
Thank you. Ah, good evening, Smiley.
Good of you to come, Rowe. Right on time, too.
Am I the first?
Yes.
I think someone else has just arrived. I heard a taxi pull up outside the door.
That'll be Fielding.
Fielding? What on earth's Terence doing in London?
I think he may be looking for a job.
What, Terence?
Apparently. Would you mind fixing Mr. Rowe a drink, Brim? You know where everything is.
Of course.
I'll just go and let Fielding in, if you'll excuse me.
Fancy Terence being up in London during term, too.
Well, now, what can I offer you, Mr. Rowe?
Ah, Smiley, there you are.
No trouble finding me, I hope.
No, no.
Come on in, Fielding.
I am not the first, I trust.
No. Stanley Rhodes just arrived.
Rhodes?
Shh, shh, shh.
But half the police in the country are looking for him.
Please. Rhodes has no idea that anything is amiss. And I'd like to keep it that way. At least until Inspector Rigby arrives.
Rigby? The chap from Cannes?
Yes, I'm expecting him shortly. He knows Rhodes is here.
Ah, yes, I see.
Precisely. Now, shall we join the others?
By all means.
Oh, the room on the right, Fielding.
Thank you.
Ah, Fielding. This is a surprise.
For both of us, Rhodes. For both of us. Our host is a wily creature, as befits, I suppose.
Do you know Miss Brimley?
How do you do? Terence Fielding.
Yes, I know. I feel I've known you for many years now, Mr. Fielding.
Oh?
I used to work with your brother once, a long time ago.
Really?
And Mr. Smiley.
Ah, yes. Just one big happy family.
Mr. Fielding?
Sherry Fielding, or do you prefer Scotch?
Scotch would be admirable. And where exactly do you fit in now, Miss Brimley?
No, I don't, not really. I spin out my days editing a nonconformist newspaper.
The Christian Voice.
Ah, yes, Rhodes, one of your ilk. Well, ex-ilk.
Water with your Scotch, Fielding?
Please. Thank you.
Actually, it was Brim who was responsible for me coming down to Cannes in the first place.
Really? Why was that, Miss Brimley?
Well, should I do it?
I don't see why not, Brim. The subject's bound to crop up sooner or later. Your health, everyone.
Cheers.
Well, you see, I received this rather surprising letter from Stella Rhodes.
Oh, no.
She accused her husband of trying to kill her.
A premonition, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Of course it wasn't. It was another fabrication, a vile fantasy.
She was killed, wasn't she?
And all the circumstantial evidence does rather point to you, Rhodes, I'm afraid.
To me?
I'm afraid, sir.
How do you come to know so much about it, Smiley?
Well, I have been trying to help your local police to clear up one or two minor matters.
Oh, well, you were kept damn quiet about it, I must say.
Yes.
Oh, God, those things I said the other night.
It was a necessary deception.
No.
I'm sorry.
You said something about circumstantial evidence.
Yes.
What sort of evidence?
Plastic cycling clothes? Copper cable?
Cable?
A length of coaxial. It came from your laboratory.
Yes, I know.
It was the murder weapon, Rhodes. The blunt instrument that killed your wife.
But anyone could have taken that. Anyone.
Perhaps. But it was seen in your briefcase, Rhodes.
No. That's impossible.
I saw it, Rhodes. I'm sorry.
You? How could you have done?
I'm afraid I opened your briefcase.
You were... But why? Why would you do a thing like that?
He was looking for Perkins' exam papers.
What?
Fielding doctored them. That's why Perkins did so well.
You did what?
I saw everything, Rhode. The cape, the cable, the galoshes, it was all there.
You did that for Perkins? You cheated? For a schoolboy?
The only thing you didn't foresee, Rhode, the one thing...
That's contemptible, Fielding.
I saw everything, everything. It was me you should have killed. Me, you murdering little
bastard! No! For God's sake!
Stop him, George.
Fielding. Killed an innocent, beautiful boy.
No.
You...
Fielding, no!
Don't kill him!
Deserve...
Thank God, George.
Oh.
Who's that?
I hope it's Rigby.
I'll go and see.
Please.
Thanks, Smiley. Is Fielding...
Oh, he'll be all right.
It wasn't me, Smiley. I didn't kill him. You must believe me.
It's too late, Rhode. There's a warrant out for your arrest.
A warrant?
Inspector Rigby.
Evening, mister. What's been going on here, then?
It's all right, Inspector. A small difference of opinion.
Yes, I can see. Anyway, he's still here. Terence Richard Fielding, I have a warrant here for your arrest in connection with the murder of Stella Mary Rhode on the night of 7th of February last.
What?
You're not obliged to say anything, but anything you do say may be taken down and used in evidence.
No, you've got the wrong man. Stanley Rhode, he's your murderer.
No, sir. No mistake.
Smiley, you said the warrant was for Rhode.
It was. Inspector?
We got the results of the handwriting analysis this morning, sir, on young Perkins' examination paper.
Ah, yes.
It was Perkins' own handwriting throughout. No question.
It's my writing, Smiley. Tell him.
There can be no doubt, Inspector?
None at all, sir.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Neither do I, George, quite frankly.
Well, quite simply, Perkins opened the briefcase to get the papers. He was the one who cheated, not you, Fielding.
What does it matter who cheated? It proves nothing. Nothing at all.
If you didn't cheat... Open Mr. Rhodes' briefcase. How come you could describe exactly what Mrs. Rhodes' murderer wore?
And the murder weapon.
Yes, and the murder weapon. That was known only to Mr. Smiley and myself.
Was it?
Tell me, Fielding, when did Stella Rhode find out about you and Tim Perkins?
What?
It must have been the last straw, particularly after that other incident in Derby.
Derby?
No, Smiley.
She was threatening to expose you over that as well, wasn't she?
God, you... Bastard, Smiley.
You had to kill her to protect yourself.
Oh, God.
But why Perkins? It was so unnecessary.
Poor Tim. Oh, God.
If you hadn't killed Tim, you might just have got away with Stella Rhodes' murder.
Oh, God. It was all for nothing. For nothing.
Come along, sir. We must be going now.
I'll show you out, shall I?
If you wouldn't mind, ma'am. Right you are there, Mr. Fielding, sir.
But why did she have to come to Cannes? Why did you have to bring her, Rhodes?
Let me fill your glass, Rhode. You look as though you need it.
Yes. Thank you. I just can't believe it. Fielding. And he was trying to blame me.
I'm sure he intended to implicate you from the outset. His evidence about all those things in your briefcase would have been damning.
Yes.
But Perkins opened the case and saw nothing but exam papers.
Is that why Fielding killed him?
Yes. Your sherry.
Thank you. I seem to owe you quite a lot, Smiley.
Oh, nonsense. Rigby would have got there in the end. He's nobody's fool, you know.
Well, thank goodness that's over. Oh, George, I could do with another one of those, please.
Coming up, Brim.
It's quite frightening, isn't it?
What is?
Well, that Fielding so nearly got away with it. Thank you.
I'm not clear about that business in Derby, was it?
Yes. Fielding was convicted there some 10 years ago for... Well, a homosexual offence with a young airman.
But how could Stella have known about something like that?
I told you that, didn't I, George?
Yes. Stella's father was the magistrate.
Oh, I can imagine what Stella would have made of that.
He gave Fielding a very strong motive. Still, I must admit, it was rather a shot in the dark on my part.
Oh, never. Not from you.
Well, whatever. It hit the mark.
Poor Fielding.
You know, Road, Darcy said a strange thing about your wife that first night I met him.
What was that?
He said that if her death had come about in any other manner, he might have been tempted to call it providential.
Perhaps I'd better start trying to believe that, hadn't I?
I think so.
That was part five, the final episode of A Murder of Quality, the novel by John le Carré, adapted for radio by René Basilico. It starred George Cole as Smiley, with Norman Bowler as Inspector Rigby. The part of Terence Fielding was played by Peter Jeffrey, Stanley Rode by William Gaunt, Miss Brimley by Sheila Grant, and Brigadier Havelock by Anthony Sharp. Other parts were played by Sonia Fraser and Martin Reed. Produced by John Fawcett Wilson.